message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, here it is, Thanksgiving Day. And I think most would agree that this is one of our favorite holidays. I mean, think about it. Kids love Thanksgiving because they get a day off from school, right? And adults love Thanksgiving because many adults also get a day off of work. Unless, of course, you're one of the people who has to work in the kitchen all day preparing the Thanksgiving meal. But besides getting a day off, we also love the wonderful food. The turkey, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, the pumpkin pie, and of course the several days of turkey leftovers that follow. On top of that, Thanksgiving is a time to get together with family and friends, some of whom we maybe have not seen for months or even years. People will even travel hundreds of miles and spend hundreds of dollars just to be with loved ones during this time. And finally, the day after Thanksgiving just happens to be the biggest shopping day of the year, a fact that causes merchants to give most hearty thanks. So, who came up with the idea of a national Thanksgiving holiday anyway? Well, most of you probably know the story about the pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock on December 11th, 1620. Now, they had a very, very hard first winter. In fact, out of the original 102 pilgrims, 46 died during that first winter. But the spring of 1621 gave the pilgrims a bountiful harvest, and so they celebrated with a day of Thanksgiving. As you remember, they also invited the local natives who had helped them through the winter. However, you need to know that that first Thanksgiving was merely a local event, and it did not continue on an annual basis for quite some time. The next closest thing to a national Thanksgiving Day took place in 1777 when the 13 colonies celebrated their victory over the British at Saratoga. And later on, in 1789, George Washington declared a national day of Thanksgiving. But due to inner strife and discord among the colonies, not everybody supported the idea. Well, years later, in 1863, President Lincoln declared that the last Thursday of November should be a national day of Thanksgiving. But once again, it wasn't practiced in any uniform way throughout the nation. Well, finally, in 1941, Congress made Thanksgiving a legal federal holiday, a decision for which federal employees are very thankful. Well, now you know the origin of Thanksgiving Day. But what about the origin of giving thanks? Well, who gave us the idea that we should give thanks at all? You know, Holy Scripture teaches us that God has always wanted us to give thanks. Not because He has a sensitive ego and we need to constantly thank Him or He's going to somehow feel bad or hurt. That's not why God wants us to give thanks. He doesn't need our thanks. But we need to give thanks, lest we become thankless people. For example, in our reading from Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now, what does Paul mean when he says that all our prayers should be offered with thanksgiving? What is thanksgiving? Why do we need it? Why do we do it? Well, before we get that answer from God's Word, I think it's important for me to explain carefully to you what Thanksgiving is not, because there are many misleading ideas about Thanksgiving in our culture. I'm going to discuss three errors regarding Thanksgiving, and sadly these three errors are very common today. The first error about Thanksgiving is what I like to call, just give thanks. All over our society we hear that on this day we should give thanks. What's wrong with that, you say? Well, many people never seem to finish that statement with a direct object. In other words, give thanks to whom? The assumption is that we give thanks to God, of course, but why is God's name so often not even mentioned? Sadly, more and more people in our culture want to leave God out of the picture. Why? Well, think about it. If you do specifically give thanks to God on this day, then maybe you will eventually have to acknowledge that you need Him every day of the year. And some people don't want to focus on God every day of the year. Yes, I'm afraid it's just a whole lot easier for us sinners to leave God out of the picture. And so our culture tells us to be thankful and to give thanks, but it doesn't get any more specific than that. And even we Christians are guilty of this sin of omission when we tell each other to be thankful without ever mentioning the word God. Now the second error I would like to address regarding Thanksgiving is what I like to call give thanks to God. Time out, Pastor, you say. Didn't you just tell us we're supposed to give thanks to God? Yes, I did. But we Christians know that there's only one true God, the one who's revealed Himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, we live in a culture where many people don't want to hear that there is only one true God. Instead, we sinners want to create God in our own image. In our culture, we're tempted to think that it's a good thing to be religious and spiritual. And so we do give thanks to God. We'll mention the word God, but we never seem to define who or what God is. And my friends, this is a sin, because the Bible clearly teaches that there's only one true God. We're not free to make up any gods we want and believe any way we please and live any way we please. There's only one God who has revealed Himself to us. And the fact is, any other gods that we worship, any other gods that we concoct in our own minds, are simply false gods. And when we give credit or attention to those false gods of our own making, we are guilty of breaking the first commandment. We are guilty of idolatry. The other bad thing about this type of sin is that we might even find ourselves giving thanks to our false gods for things that God clearly condemns. For example, one time I met a guy who was sleeping with a woman outside of marriage, and he was giving thanks to God for that. But God doesn't want us to do that. Or one time I met a young man who confessed to me that at one point in his life he had shoplifted from Walmart and afterwards gave thanks to God that he didn't get caught. But God doesn't want us to give thanks for things that He clearly says in His Word are sinful. But you see, that's where we can be led when we start to give thanks to gods that we've made up in our own heads, rather than giving thanks to the one true God who reveals Himself to us in His Word and teaches us about His will for our life in that same Word. The third and final error I want to address regarding Thanksgiving is what I call this: God loves me because I'm thankful. There are many people who know very well that there's And these same people also know that only this God is the one who provides us with all things, and so we should give thanks to Him. However, the devil tempts us constantly to think that thanksgiving is a moral attitude in us that impresses God and then convinces Him that we're worthy of even more blessing from Him. You see, the devil wants us to think that God will answer our prayers as long as we're adequately thankful for what He's already given us, as though our act of thanksgiving somehow obligates God to give us even more. My friends, when thanksgiving becomes a duty we perform to impress God, as though we hope He's watching how thankful we are today and will reward us accordingly, then we're guilty of great sin. In fact, this error can even lead us to become very bitter and angry with God when He doesn't give us the good things that we think we deserve. Think about it. We're very willing to thank God when He gives us good things. But what happens when He allows trials and tragedies in our life? During such times, the devil tempts us to think that God is either ignoring us or, even worse, that He hates us. During such times of trial and tragedy, we're tempted to get very angry at God and say, God, why me? I don't deserve this. That's where we can be led if we think that giving thanks is some moral superior act in us that convinces God that He owes us one. Do you remember the book of Job? God allowed the devil to take everything away from Job, his children, his wealth, his health. At one point, Job's wife had enough and she says to her husband, Job, curse God and die. But Job responded by the Holy Spirit, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? I'm afraid we're all guilty, including me. We're all guilty of being foolish when it comes to the true meaning of thanksgiving. In fact, even Job eventually became angry with God, and he needed to repent as well. My friends, the good news I have for you and for me this morning is this. God forgave Job for his foolishness. And God also forgives you and me for the times that we have been guilty of the three errors of thanksgiving that I discussed. We who believe in Jesus give thanks to the one true God because His undeserved mercy transforms our hearts so that we trust that God loves us and wants to bless us even when He blesses us with suffering and trial. That's right. You heard me correctly. According to the Bible, even the sufferings and the trials that God gives us are blessings. For example, if you read the beginning of the book of Job, you find out that he was immensely blessed by God in a way that we usually think of, because Job had wealth, he had health, he had a wonderful family, he had everything that a person would want. But then one day, God took it all away. Why? Well, remember, earlier I mentioned that when God takes away all our earthly comforts, all the things that we love, the devil wants us to think that God either is ignoring us or, worse yet, is out to get us, but both are lies. Because according to Scripture, when God does deprive us of our earthly comforts, when God does deprive us of the things we love in this world, He does that for two reasons. Number one, to strengthen our faith in His Son, our Lord and Savior. And number two, and we often forget about this one, the second reason He allows us to suffer is so that during that time of suffering, we can witness to the unbelievers of this world about the hope, the unshakable hope that we have in Jesus, even in the midst of things that seem to be hopeless. During such times, the devil will do all he can to turn us away from God, but the Holy Spirit will focus us on God all the more. For example, the Holy Spirit moved Job to confess the following. Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Now please understand, Job was not resigning himself to the fact that God had abandoned him. No. Job's confession of faith was based on the fact that he knew God would never abandon him. Why? Because during the Old Testament, when Job and his fellow Israelites offered blood sacrifices, those sacrifices pointed ahead to the one sacrifice that would cover all our sins and give us eternal life with God, nothing less than the sacrifice of God's one and only Son on the cross for us sinners, us thankless sinners. That's why later on in the book of Job, when things got about as bad as they could get for him, he said the following. He said, "If God slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job refused to believe that God would go back on his promises to be faithful to him through his promised Savior, his Son, our Lord Jesus. We need to remember, God loved us so much that he damned his own Son in our place. So whenever the devil tempts you to think that God doesn't love you, remember the cross. Remember what God was willing to give up so that you could be forgiven and be his own forever. In fact, Jesus gives us a beautiful example of faith, because when he was on the cross, suffering for your sin and mine, Jesus prayed, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And so even on the cross, Jesus knew that his Father loved him. And my friends, God the Father loves you too. The Father who gave his Son to save you from hell, he will never leave you or forsake you. That's why all our prayers should be offered with thanksgiving. We thank God even if we're homeless and sick and naked and at death's door. We thank God because no matter what, we always have Jesus. In our gospel reading, Jesus teaches us not to live like unbelievers. He reminds us that God knows that we have needs and he will provide for us as he sees best. But then you need to understand something else. You need to understand that even when God in his wisdom does not provide for our earthly needs, even when God takes away the things and the people that we love so much, even then we still give thanks because we know that God still loves us because we always have Jesus. So no matter what you face in this life, you can know that your sins are forgiven and that you have the certain hope of the resurrection of the body and eternal life with God and the new creation that he will give us on that final day. That new creation, as we heard about in the song that the choir sang for us moments ago, the new creation where everything will finally be set right. But until that day, while we still live in this world of sin, God will sometimes deprive us of our comforts and all the things that we treasure. He will sometimes do that to remind us of the only thing we really truly do need: Jesus, our Lord and Savior. My friends, God is so merciful. Think about it. Even though we don't deserve it, God gives us food, he gives us clothing, he gives us a home, he gives us health, family and friends, and he does this almost all the time. You know, it's very easy for us to get into a thankless mode and complain to God when we go through hard times, but I'd like you to do a little test. Sometime when you have an opportunity, I want you to add up all the days of your life when you've been healthy, and then add up all the days of your life when you've been ill and sick. And I think for most people, the days that they've been healthy far outweigh the days that they've been sick. How about food and clothing? When you have a chance, I'd like you to add up all the days when you've had food to eat and clothing to wear and a place to sleep. And then add up all the days when you were hungry and naked and homeless. I think it's fair to say that no one here ever had a day in their life when they were homeless and naked and starving. God provides for us so abundantly, even though we don't deserve a lick of it. That's the kind of God that we have. A God who loves us so dearly that He not only provides for all our physical needs, but He was willing to sacrifice His one and only Son so that we could come to Him with our sins, knowing that we're forgiven, and then set free to turn away from those sins and to live according to God's loving plan for our lives. So my friends, today and every day we thank God for all the earthly blessings He gives us. But even more than that, we thank Him for His Son Jesus. Because without Him, we would have no reason to give thanks. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.